Well, good morning, Hillcrest. Glad you're here. I want to talk, as we start out, about finding out the nature and character of people. If I were to try to find out the nature of a guy like Perry Reeves, let's say, I might ask Judy, hey, do you wake up grumpy every morning? And she might say, no, I let him sleep until 10 a.m. Or I might say, how would you describe Perry? Well, he might be, and we'll use an animal, grumpy as a bear in the morning. Or we might say someone is sly as a fox. Absolutely. Or then we might start talking relationships, and we might say our kids are fighting like cats and dogs. In my youth ministry realm, I would say maybe moving middle school kids is like herding chickens or cats. Yeah, either one. You choose. I don't like either one of them a whole lot. Everybody knows only dogs go to heaven. Cats don't make it. Well, they don't have to. They don't ever die. Nine lives, you know. But when we're talking about those relationships and trying to figure out what's the nature of it? I didn't understand about herding chickens until my grandfather said, boy, go get those chickens back in that pen. And so I tried to herd chickens. I was about 9. And so I started kind of running toward them, and they just scattered. Except for one chicken. And one chicken stood its ground. And I got closer and closer and closer to it until finally I was just right here, and that chicken looked up at me and pecked me right on my ankle. And I was like, oh, man, you know, that was not fun. And my granddad's over there laughing because he knew that chicken wasn't going to hurt. And I started to get this understanding about these sayings. And when you go to the Bible, all of a sudden you have these pictures that help you understand a little better about the relationship that we have with our Father, about even our own character, our own nature. And as you can tell from our song service this morning, we're talking about sheep. We're talking about the Good Shepherd in John 10. If you want to go to your Bibles, go to John 10 right now. We're going to stay in there all day today. So what animal did Jesus pick for us? For himself, a good shepherd. For us, sheep. Now, I grew up in North Dallas. It was the good side of Dallas. Everything was going well. We didn't raise sheep in North Dallas. The closest thing I ever got to sheep were some wool pants that my mother bought me from Sears. I never hung out with sheep, but I have since learned a lot about sheep. And the first discovery I learned about sheep, I learned from one of my elders out at Southern Hills who said, sheep are dumb. And I thought, well, that's not very nice, Lord, calling a sheep right off the bat. And my elder described it this way. He said, sheep are so dumb, they are born into this world looking for a place to die. If they are not cared for pretty intensely and constantly, like we sang a minute ago, they will kill themselves. They are not bright animals. You will never see some show on TV, any talent shows, showing you sheep who do tricks. They're not teachable in that way. You will not see them do anything like have warning signs on a fence that say, warning, attack sheep. Because they're harmless. That's part of their nature. They're dumb. They need lots of care. They are defenseless, very much like the Cowboy offense this past season. Totally defenseless. All they can do is run. They see danger and they run away. That's all they got. The best thing they can do is kind of stay in a little pack and hope that they're not on the outside that the predator gets. So they are dumb. They're defenseless. They have all these flaws. And the last thing that I learned about them is they're extremely fearful. Sheep are fearful. And I've got to tell you, I thought about changing my sermon this week because of everything that happened this last week, but then I thought again, this lesson may be exactly what we need to hear this week. Because a lot of people are pretty fearful this week. A lot of people are afraid to turn on the news because they expect something else to happen horrible next week. And I think that we need to understand that we, as a group, at times are very fearful, just like sheep. Sheep are so fearful, as they read Psalms 23, that it says that they were guided by still waters or quiet waters. The reason is sheep are skittish about the rushing water sound. Shepherds would take them deliberately to places along the stream that were quiet because they didn't want it to be nervous. That's how much our Lord loves us. That's how much our Lord wants us, even in the chaos of this week and all the rhetoric that's going on. He wants us to say, be calm. I'm still your shepherd. I'm still here. Do not let the worries of this world affect you. I'm still guiding you. But you've got to listen. And listen closely to me. And so as we thought through this week, I just want you to know that the Lord cares for you. One of the things that I want us to show in the first slide, John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, is it starts talking about this relationship. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Something that hits you right off the bat is he calls his sheep by name. Now, if you're going to slaughter sheep, you typically don't name them. You give them numbers. Right? In fact, I hope none of your parents referred to you as son number two today. I hope they call you by name. You're Chris. You're Peter. You're Sam. They call you by name because they intend to have a long-term relationship with you. Because you see, God knows you individually. The Good Shepherd knows you individually. He does not call us ever as a collective church. He does not say, it's the Hillcrest Church, that's all I see is this big mass of people, the Hillcrest Church. Y'all are lovely people, you look great, you dressed up really nicely this morning. But he sees people. He sees Pat Varner. He sees you. He sees Cliff Barbarick. He sees all you individually, and he calls you individually. When you get up to Judgment Day, he's not going to say, enter in, Hillcrest Church of Christ. He's going to say, enter in, good and faithful servant, Pat. Enter in, good servant, Cliff. Enter in, Ronald. He's going to call you by name. And because he knows you by name, he knows everything about you. He knows your tendencies. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And he's going to treat you just like you need to be treated. In our academic world, we try to treat everyone equally in the classroom. And we try and do our best, and I understand why, but the bottom line is, some of you need more help than others. I need more help than some of you in certain areas of my life. And God knows me so well. He knows you so well. He is willing to give you assistance in areas that he doesn't help anyone else with in this room. Because he knows you. It's good news for a lot of you that he doesn't bring you as a church, because you have some great individuals here. This next slide, I think. You don't want to go as a church with Kyle McAllister in your group. It may bring the curve down just a tad. So you want to feel like my good shepherd knows me and calls me. One of the great things about the shepherd, let's go on the next slide. I get tired of looking at Kyle. One of the things the scripture is going to go on, when he's brought out all on his own, what they would do is they would put their sheep all together in a huge pen, and there would be several flocks all together, and there would be a gate. And the shepherds would all stand apart from each other, two or three yards apart, and would call their sheep by name. And the sheep would listen for their shepherd's voice and their name, and they would come out of the pen one at a time. And you know, if it's in West Texas, they'd be out there standing there and say, Billy Sue, Bubba John, all that, and they'd be calling the sheep out by name. And it's probably other words like Raheem, you know, and Shalan. Come on out. But they were listening carefully for their shepherd's voice and their individual name. Isn't that a beautiful picture? They knew exactly who their shepherd was by the sound of the voice and by the sweetness of a name. My students make fun of me at ACU, but I make my whole class memorizes every name in the class just as I do. And I do it the very first of the semester. It's on their first test many times in youth ministry class. And they go, why do you make such a big deal about this? I said, because a name is precious. It shows you care. It shows you love someone when you care enough to just get their name correct. For me to be able to call Shane to hug his neck this morning is a precious event. To get to know some of you in this church has been a precious thing. To know exactly who you are and for you to know my name and be able to call my name is a precious thing. He goes on, when he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. One of the things that you notice right off the bat is that he is leading his sheep. And that's the second point I want you to go to. He leads us gently. If you feel beat, that's not a good shepherd. If you feel like you're being harshly treated and yelled at and screamed at, and believe me, there's been a lot of yelling this week, a lot of screaming, a lot of strident voices, that's not of God. I think even in discipline, he's not yelling and screaming. There are tears in his eyes. It truly does hurt him more than it does us to discipline even. Because his ultimate goal is not to discipline for discipline's sake, it is to bring you back. And so the good shepherd gets out and he's always out in front. And it's obviously a great thing as shepherds here at this church have learned already. Shepherds lead from the front. They don't say, get out there in front of me. They don't say, go do this and I'll follow behind. Shepherds lead from the front. And the sheep just follow in line. And they know as long as they stay in that same path that the shepherd is, they're going to be all right. When I was growing up, the kindergarten that I attended was at our church. And my parents only had one car, believe it or not. We were the typical poor preacher's family. One car. My parents would talk about arranging who would have the car at what time of day, but one of the things that happened is I would get to walk every morning with my father to kindergarten. And it was almost a mile to the church. So, little five-year-old kid. And I'll never forget, as we walked, he would want to hold my hand, which was so uncool. So uncool. Didn't want to do that. And finally, he quit trying to grab my hand. He said, stay right behind me, son. Stay right behind me. And my dad had these really long strides, and I remember I would take my three little steps, and that would equal his one. And I remember even kind of leaping, trying to get in exact step with my father. And here's what I knew. He was my leader every day to kindergarten. And I knew as long as my steps hit exactly where his steps were, I never had to be afraid. I never had to worry about where we're going. I didn't have to worry about, are we going to wind up at kindergarten class? I knew my daddy was going to get me there as long as I kept my steps in his path. And that's the good thing about Christ. He said back in Mark chapter 8, a simple little phrase that's so hard to do, but he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and what? Follow me. We don't have a God who shouts orders and says, get out there and do it. We have a God who gets out in front and says, just follow in my path. And we know that we're going to be fine if we stay in that path. Isn't that reassuring? Isn't that good? Next slide. Some of you remember this family. I wanted to give you a visual of what I think a gentle shepherd looks like. Y'all remember old Ward Cleaver? Leave it to Beaver? This is the type of leadership. You never sense that Ward was going to yell or scream. You know, he'd get a little exasperated from time to time, but at the end of 30 minutes, everything was always taken care of, wasn't it? Wrapped up very nicely and everything was good. Weren't those the good old days? It's a little different these days. But that's the type of leadership we're looking for, is a gentle, wise, godly leadership. Let's go on to the next text. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What's the good shepherd do? What's he produce? He produces a good life. He is going to take care of you. He's going to be for you to have good life, an abundant life sometimes it's called. He is not here to spoil your fun. He's not here to be a killjoy. He is here to say, I want you to live life. I want you to live it so abundantly. I want you to be taken care of. I don't want you to suffer from the guilt. I don't want to remind you over and over of your past sins. I want you to live. Living is what I want you to do. I want you to experience all of life, both the good and the bad. But bottom line is, I want you to live. I want you to have joy. Not always, not considered happiness, joy. That you can live and live well. One of the things the good shepherd is going to promote is he's going to care for you. He's going to do anything he can to make you have a good life. Have you ever seen a shepherd who didn't do their job? I'm going to show you a picture here. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep like this. This is a sheep that came out of the 60s, you know, Woodstock and all that stuff. This is a sheep who has not been clipped in a while. Now, this is in pretty good shape. I could show you some other pictures of a sheep that looks just like this, except there are sticks and brush and all that stuff sticking out of everything, out of all that wool. And it's dirtier and darker and brown and muddy and dusty. And there's all sorts of stuff. And let me tell you, I can't even describe how that would smell. If the shepherd does not do their job, we're in trouble. We love to think that we're the ones that are doing all the work and we are doing all this incredible stuff here. Once again, like Ron said, I gave blood this morning. I'm so good. The bottom line is the shepherd is the one that does the heavy lifting. The shepherd is the one that helps us retain that purity. To bring out back those phrases like, create in me a pure heart, O God. The way that happens is because God creates it. Because most of us are going to keep feeling guilty. And he's going to bring back that beautiful coat of fur and wool back to beautiful and white. Because he's going to clip it. And he's going to pull the sticks out of it and the rocks and all that dirt. And he'll wash them off until it's just like new. The good shepherd is something that is so such a powerful picture. And the last thing, next slide. He goes on to say, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so that when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. I lay down my life for the sheep. Talk about two relationships. One relationship is the hired hand. One relationship is the shepherd. The hired hand is going to run at the first sign of trouble. When trouble comes to our world, we can rest assured that God is going to be here. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how chaotic it is, no matter if violence happens in this town, we need to understand and we need to know we have a good shepherd right beside us. Who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep? I tell you, there's a one more word picture I want to pop in your head. This next slide describes how badly God will fight for you. This is the last picture of Bob. See if you can see why. You'll get this when you get home. There's a mother bear back behind, and Bob is holding up her cub. You remember the phrase? You mess with her kids, she's going to come at you like a mama bear. And that mama bear is not going to let anything mess with her baby, right? Fiercely, irrationally, our good shepherd will fight for us. Very much like any mama bear. Some of you have had kids who have been bullied or attacked, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You better not mess with one of these moms when you have messed with her cub. Well, I'm telling you, God Himself, you better not mess with His children because He will fight for you. Let me go to the Amos slide. Over in Amos, it talks about this very principle. And I told you a few weeks ago about David when he was a young boy that he would go hand-to-hand combat with a lion and a bear. This one shows another, just a slight similar rendition of this. As a shepherd saves from the lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of ear, so will the Israelites be saved. And they're trying to draw you a word picture. The word picture is this. The lion has the lamb inside its mouth. And the shepherd is literally in a tug of war with the lion. This close. And it says, I may only get two leg bones. Or I may get a piece of ear, but I am going to fight valiantly for you. In this passage, Israelites, his people. Well, that's us, folks. Even when it looks like they're not even going to live, that's how much our God is willing to fight for your soul. It's irrational, but I got good news for you. The Lord loves us all irrationally. It's hard to understand, isn't it? And we also know that He cares about lost sheep, right? Willing to leave 99 that are in the pen and go and look for one. One lost sheep. But you got 99 over here. One lost sheep. And He'll leave them all and come searching for you and for me. I love the fact that we have a God who does irrational things. I love the fact that God loves the lost that much. And the question once again comes back to us. Do we love the lost that much? Are we willing to go to any lengths, to irrational lengths for the lost? So what's our response? We're sheep. What's our job? We know the shepherd does most of the work. The question is this. What do we do? First thing I hope you understand and learn is you need to listen to the shepherd's voice. There are a lot of voices that are clamoring to be heard. Some of them are on Facebook this week. Did you listen to them much more carefully than you did to the Lord this week? Can you hear His voice amidst the chaos? If not, you may need to take a little trip in the wilderness or to some quiet spots to say, I need some peace, Lord. I'm feeling scared. And you need to find some quiet waters, wherever that is for you. And meditate on the fact that the Lord is still your shepherd. And He's still watching over you. I don't know what you think the Lord's voice sounds like. I don't know how you hear Him. I've always been enamored with the idea of what the Lord sounds like. I, I tend to think that the Lord's going to have this big, deep voice, you know, and sound really echoey and all that stuff on Judgment Day. I'm going to be so disappointed if I get up to heaven and I walk up and he goes, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." And he sounds more like Mickey Mouse. I don't know. We don't know. But what I do know is the only way that we can have a good defense, the only way I know we can take care of ourselves is we've got to start out with listening to His voice. Hearing it. Not talking about Him, hearing Him. Saying to us, "Peace. Peace be still in your soul, in your country, in your culture. Peace." If there's anyone who's going to hopefully have an incredibly good response to all that's gone on in our culture this week, it ought to be the Christians. We're the people who need to be going and hugging people of all races, of cops who are out there defending our lives every day. We're the ones that need to be reconciling and leading the charge, because we have a good shepherd who's saying, "It's going to be all right." I love the fact that so many people are going to be talking about that this morning. But more importantly, I'm hoping that we understand we've got to change the way we do some things. We're going to have to be more proactive as Christians to set a pace, because if we don't, there's going to be a vacuum and someone else is going to take that spot. So the Christian is going to have to lead. And as we follow in the Lord's footsteps, I hope our steps follow in the same way. The second major thing is that we've got to once again follow in His steps. And there is nothing else. There is no other option. We've got to be in His steps. If we're in His steps, we know that we are good. The question is, have we listened? Has He been nudging you with His rod? Everyone feels like those rods and shepherd crooks and all that stuff are there to beat sheep. They are not there to beat sheep. They are there to nudge. Have you felt a holy nudge this week? Need to come back in the line. Come back into my path. Let's don't go that way. And He blocks the path. Even the slingshot that David used, I hear, you know, once again, I don't know, I've never been a shepherd, but they say even the slingshot was not to hit the sheep. It was to scare them with a rock hitting to the left or to the right to move them back into the line so they would follow the path. We have a lovely, lovely path. The question is, are you listening to where the path is? Let's pray. Father, this week we just need this lesson. We need to know what You called us to. And we pray, Lord, that You will help us to be leaders, to be reconcilers, to be people who are willing to love first and not know what the reaction is going to be. We pray that we will be the good sheep, the sheep that follow in Your path, the sheep that listen to You, the sheep that are willing to accept whatever You have called us to. Help us be bold in that. Help us to be wise in listening to Your voice. We pray this together. In Jesus' name, amen. For any reason you want to put on your Lord in baptism or want to pray with your elders, we know that they would welcome that and want to invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.